بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الغر الميامين. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله، يا رحمة الله الواسعة، ويا باب نجاة الأمة، ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة. يا ليتنا كنا معكم فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم ألا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين، وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم. ولقد أضل منكم جبلا كثيرا أفلم تكونوا تعقلون. أطروا مجالسكم بالصلاة على محمد وآل محمد. In pathology, we come across two types of diseases. One is visible and noticeable. It can be detected through the symptoms, and therefore it could be cured at early stages. The other type, diseases which are invisible, hardly noticed. It might not have symptoms, such as the HIV positive, and it could kill without even the person making notice of them. When the Holy Quran speaks about the danger of the Satan, the Shaytan, which surpasses all other dangers, the Quran mentions to us that the type of danger that this creature, this Satan, poses on us is from the second type. It is invisible. It is hardly noticed by people. Listen to the prophetic tradition of Muhammadin al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. When the Prophet speaks about the Satan, he uses this metaphor: إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَيَجْرِي مِنْ إِبْنِ آدَمَ مَجْرَى الدَّمِ مِنَ الْعُرُوقِ. Very beautiful. Satan flows inside you, inside the son of Adam. Flows is embedded inside the son of Adam. In the same way that the blood runs and flows in your veins and your arteries without you making any notice of it. You can hardly feel the blood or the blood circulation inside you. No one can say, I can feel the blood running inside me. No one. Although, you know how much blood you carry? And how much this heart pumps blood? An average of 300 liters per hour, the heart pumps and circulates the blood throughout your body, in your veins and arteries. But you cannot notice that and you cannot feel it. This is the shaitan. This is the danger of this creature. Is embedded in us, runs through us, and we are unaware, completely unaware about his existence inside us. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَيَجْرِي مِنْ إِبْنِ آدَمَ مَجْرَ الدَّمِ مِنَ الْعُرُوقِ. However, Allah uses the term إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ أَلَمْ أَعْهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانَ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ sworn enemy. Very apparent. مُبِين means apparent. Very clear. But yet we don't feel him. We don't feel him. This means that his tactics and his strategies are enigmatic, very intricate. You can hardly discover that the shaitan is with you, running inside you. He's very complex. However, Allah draws our attention to his danger. In Surah Al-Isra or Al-Isra, Allah speaks about some of his plans and plots and tactics. And I will come to that. But just before we go to that, many people ask, this is a common question posed by many youngsters, many adults. Why, if Satan is so evil and wicked and bad, why then God, the merciful, the compassionate, the forgiving, why he created him at the first place? Why he made him so evil and wicked? Why? The answer is, God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did not create the shaitan wicked and evil and bad in the first day. He was not bad. If you look into the biography of shaitan, has a very interesting biography, you will find out that shaitan was in the ranks of the angels. He was promoted to the ranks of the angels. Although he is not one of them, his race is different. إِنَّ إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِ. He was one of the jinn. But since he devoted himself, worshipped God for a long, long time, some philosophers believe that he prostrated to Allah for thousands of years in the sky with the angels. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said at the end, by a very small test, he collapsed. He lost all of his credits. إِنَّ إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِ. However, فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. فَ in the beginning means later on. He was worshipping. He was a good worshipper. But then he failed the test. فَفَسَقَ. He diverted from the commandments of his Lord. فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. And then he became evil and wicked by his own free will and freedom. God did not create him wicked. God did not want for him to be evil, to be shaitan. He had the free will. It was a premeditated action. He wanted to be. He refused. And therefore, when he refused to bow to Adam, he committed three crimes. I call them the mother of all crimes. The mother of all crimes. Three crimes. Triple, dreadful crimes. Number one. 1, 2, and 3. Number one, conceit, arrogance, and pride. Takabbur. Number two, envy and jealousy. And number three, disobedience and rebellion against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
These triple crimes are the mother of all evil on earth since the beginning of the creation right to the end. The source of all evil. Meaning every sin, every mischief, every evil stem from these three crimes. Number one, takabbur. قَالَ فَاحْبِطْ مِنْهَا فَمَا لَكَ أَن تَتَكَبَّرَ فِيهَا. Allah the Almighty addresses him. You have to leave this place. Out. Out of this place. We have no room here for arrogance in paradise. فَمَا لَكَ أَن تَتَكَبَّرَ فِيهَا. To see yourself better than others, above others all the time, no matter. This is unacceptable. This is indeed the meaning of takabbur and arrogance. To see yourself always, your race, your color, your family, your language is the best. And you are always above the other. This is the pitfall that Bani Israel or Banu Israel, they fall in. From the time of Musa until today, right to the day of judgment. Pride, negative pride, arrogance, conceit, brings all sorts of disasters, leads to discrimination, bigotry, iniquity, injustice. Today, United States of America probably is the best country in terms of science, technology, modernity, wealth, economy, military might, but they could not face the biggest challenge today. And they conceded defeat. They have a big problem today. They could not bring a cure to it today. They could not settle it today. And that is social discrimination in America. In the heart of the American democracy, so-called, you find social and racial discrimination. The mother of all evils. And the hadith says, لا يدخل الجنة يوم القيامة من كان في قلبه حبة خردل من كبر. Paradise and heaven is forbidden for the person who comes on the day of judgment carrying in his heart a mustard grain, the size of mustard grain, so tiny, little, small size, of pride and arrogance. He would not be able to make it to paradise. وَيُحْشَرُ الْمُتَكَبِّرُ يُحْشَرُ الْمُتَكَبِّرُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَلَى صُورَةِ الذَّرِ يَطَأُهُ النَّاسُ بِأَقْدَامِهِمْ. On the day of judgment, the arrogant person comes who thinks that he has the best race and the best family and the best tribe. He comes on the day of judgment, Allah will resurrect him and gathers him in the size of a small ant, very small, small creature, while people are stepping over him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, التكبر ينشئ الكمد. ينشئ الكمد brings depression. Not only the English weather, typical English weather, creates, instigates depression. Arrogance also instigates depression. So this is one. The other is the envy, the hasad. Not to be able to see others successful. He cannot see, he cannot afford. Shaitan could not see that someone else standing and the angels are bowing to him. So he refused to bow. Because he is better than him. And Rasulullah, when it comes to hasad, he says, Al-hasadu ya'kulu al-hasanat kama ta'kulu an-naru al-hatab. All the good deeds that you do, all the worshipping, the prayers, the charity, the hajj that you perform, you can burn it in a matter of second. You can burn it down in the same way that fire consumes the wood.
in the forest in a matter of seconds. The hasad, envy and jealousy consumes and burns out all the good deeds, all the credits that you have been accumulating for yourself. The good deeds will go away in a matter of seconds. Al-hasadu ya'kulu al-hasanat. Al-hasadu sharru al-amrad. The worst social disease is to be envious. To be jealous of your neighbor, your friend. Now, some people, they tell you, I can't help it. I am jealous. I can't see my friend being better than me. He excels and I don't. He buys a new house and I... You may keep it inside your heart. You may not exercise it. Yes. Al-hasad afatul ulama al-hasad. Not the lay people, ordinary people. Even scholars, philosophers. They are afflicted with this disease. But you have to contain it. You have to control it inside you. Do not allow it to be exercised or materialized outside. This is the second. And the third one, disobedience and rebellion. He rebelled against Allah. Listen to the Quran, the wording of the Quran in Surah Al-A'raf. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى أَنْ يَكُونَ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. What was his problem? What was the problem of Shaitan? He refused. Listen to this very carefully. The Shaitan not only refused the physical posture of sujood and prostration. Not only that. If it was only that, it would have been very easy. But, أَبَا أَن يَكُونَ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. Not only he declined the physical posture, he declined to be part of those who prostrate. And this is even more severe and more gross. Let me give you this example. We have two people who do not pray. Two types of people who do not pray. One of them does not pray because of laziness. He doesn't have time. He can't make time, for instance. Or sometimes he doesn't feel like to pray. He's not in a good mood. But sometimes, this is a crime, this is a sin, and I will come to this inshallah one day when we speak about cardinal sins. This is a crime and a sin, but there is someone who is deeper than him in trouble, and that person is the one who not only declines to pray, but he despises prayers. He hates prayers. The first one does not hate prayer. But he doesn't have time. Laziness. But the second one despises prayers. Listen to the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Allah does not say, look at the one who does not pray or does not fast. He says, look at the one, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي belies. Belies faith. يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Despises faith. Not only he does not practice. Besides not practicing, he belittles the people, disgraces, makes fun of the people who practices faith. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. The result is, فَذَٰلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُّ الْيَتِيمِ. Repulses the orphan. وَلَا يَحُظُّ. He discourages the feeding of the destitutes. He dissuades those who pay and give. وَلَا يَحُظُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. This is the difference here. Another example. We have many of our sisters in Europe, in North America, who are not practicing hijab, and they ask God, the courage, the bravery to be able to practice the veil and hijab. One of them, she just did this. She came to the mosque and she said, "Sayyid, today I really want to be close to God. I feel so close to Him today. So I decided to have a turning point in my life. I decided to embrace hijab. To appreciate my value as a female, my chastity." I said, "Congratulations." She put on the veil. She goes home. Her mother opens the door for her and she looks at her and she starts screaming, "Are you crazy? What happened to you? Go back. This is not your house. Go back." The daughter is going back to her family's, her parents' house, and the mother refuses her to come inside. Refuses to admit her inside her own bedroom. Go back. This is أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Rather than embracing her and accepting her and encouraging her and saying to her mother, "Maybe I am not a good mother, I'm not a good wife, maybe I'm not a good Muslim, but you did it, congratulations." Rather than encouraging her, she starts belittling her. "You are ugly." She came back to me, she says, "Sayyid, do you think I am ugly in this? My mother says you are ugly. I can't stand looking at you." The severity of the punishment here is very gross. For the person who discourages people who are trying to get close to Allah, he or she would discourage them. So this was the problem of the shaitan, brothers and sisters. Not only he refused to bow down, not only he refused, he despised the malaika. He discouraged them. He started a mutiny there in the sky. Aba an yakuna min as-sajidin. This is a very important sentence here. Aba, for the rest of his life. So he was condemned to damnation and he was sent out of heaven and he became the most despicable creature on earth. He became Iblis. He became Iblis. Nothing worse than him. Aba an yakuna min as-sajidin. This is because of disobedience to Allah. Disobedience. Brothers and sisters, faith means that we have to dedicate our life entirely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Faith in Islam is not that we go to the mosque 5 times a day. We observe the fast for 29 or 30 days. We pay an amount of charity here or there. This is not a complete faith. The complete faith, the genuine faith, is that each and every cell in my body submits and surrenders to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the Creator. Listen to Ibrahim alayhi salam. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. إِنَّ صَلَاتِي, my prayers, my worshipping, my service, my sacrifice, and my life, as well as my death, even in my death, I submit to God. Not only my life. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي. My entire life is dedicated to Him. Not 1 hour a day. Not even 20 hours a day. It has to be 24 hours a day. Even in your sleep. Even when you eat, when you drive, when you work. Your life has to be dedicated to Allah. This is the complete faith. Even your feelings. One day the Prophet was asked, "Ya Rasulullah, ma awthaqu ura al-iman?" What are the best handles of faith? Faith has several handles. Which one is the strongest? Which one we should hold to? Strong.
Some people said as-salat, the best way, the fastest road to God, prayers. The other said as-siyam. The third said the charity. The fourth said the orphans. The Prophet said,
أَوْثَقُ عُرَى الْإِيمَانِ. Listen to this.
أَوْثَقُ عُرَى الْإِيمَانِ الْحُبُّ لِلَّهِ وَالْبُغْضُ لِلَّهِ. To dedicate your emotions, your sentiments, your feelings, even your feelings inside you for Allah. Not only your actions, your feelings. Can you control your feelings? When you love someone or something, you love him or her or that place for the sake of Allah. When you hate, you have to hate for the sake of Allah. Dedicate your emotions for him. Al-hubbu lillah wal-bughdu lillah. This is the complete faith. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Shaitan had these three diseases. Pride and arrogance. Envy and jealousy. Disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not accepting to surrender to Him. And you know what Allah says to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says to the community of the Muslims around the Prophet in the city of Medina. Allah says to them, the essence of faith, the spirit of faith, is not the prayers that you do, not the fast that you endure. These are not the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما. This is the spirit of faith. By Allah, by the Lord, that they would not attain the sweetness and the reality of faith until and unless they accept everything you say to them and they surrender absolutely, completely to you. حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. They cannot argue with you. They cannot discuss. They may inquire. They may ask you about the philosophy of this act or that act. But they may never argue with you. وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. This is the spirit of faith. Absolutely they surrender to you, submit to you, to what you say to them. So if someone comes during the time of the Prophet, in fact this is the difference, if you want to know, one of the differences, major differences, between the school of Ahlul Bayt, the Shia school of Ahlul Bayt, and the school of the Sahab, the tradition of the companions. In Islam we don't have something called Shi'i or Sunni, by the way. We don't have Shi'ism or Sunnism. These are modern terms. People were divided into two groups. Both claim the fellowship of the Prophet. But one group is following the Prophet or claiming to follow the Prophet through his companions. And not all companions, certain companions. Al-Ashara al-Mubashara bil-Jannah, certain one. The second group, they claim that they follow the Prophet through his family, progeny, and again some of the companions. So this is the dichotomy after the death of the Prophet. We have only these two groups. Either you get to the Prophet through the gate of Ahlul Bayt, or there is another gate. There is no third way. We don't have Shia or Sunni. And one of the major differences between these two schools of thought is that the Shia, they believe that we have to surrender to the Prophet. We cannot argue with him. We cannot say that my opinion is this and that. And let me just elaborate a little bit more here. Sources of legislations in Islam are many. In the Shia school of thought or the school of Ahlul Bayt are four. In other schools of thought, it could reach as many as 26 or 27.
One of them is istihsan. One of them is istihsan. Istihsan means when you are pleased with a concept. Like Salatul Taraweeh. The second caliph comes to the mosque and he sees the people praying individually. One of them is bowing, the other is standing, the third one is sitting. So he said, I don't like this. I like to see the people all doing this together. Standing at once, sitting at once, together. So he ordered Ubay ibn Ka'b. This is in Sahih al-Bukhari, by the way, huh? This is in the most sacred Sunni texts. Go to Sahih al-Bukhari and see this hadith. He said, I'm going to appoint a leader, imam for the jama'ah. From tomorrow, all those people have to gather around him and pray behind him. This is what he did. So a few days later, he goes back to the mosque of the Prophet in Medina. And he sees the Muslims at the night of Ramadan performing Salat al-Taraweeh in a group together. So Umar looks at them and he says, Ni'mat al-Bid'ah, beautiful innovation. This is called istihsan because he liked them to do it this way. He was pleased with them. So it is considered today one of the source of legislation. If the Khalifa desires something or likes something or looks very tempting to him, beautiful, he can incorporate this as an Islamic law. We can't do that. Because if I am supposed to incorporate a few things and you are going to do that, then what is left out of religion? This is not God's religion anymore. وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا. Absolute submission to Allah. The shaitan did not do that. And this was his problem. Now, I have a few minutes left. What are the tactics of shaitan, brothers and sisters? How can he seduce us? Is it really easy for him? Some people who pray to God, some people who are always with Allah, how can shaitan approaches them? Of course, Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانِ. My true devout servants, you cannot reach them. You have no authority. You have no ability over them. You cannot trap them. They have immunity. But, again, the shaitan has been endowed with many talents. He's very skillful. In Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, this is one of the most beautiful chapters of the Quran. And if you have a non-Muslim friend, and he or she would ask you a recommendation about specific chapter in the Quran, do introduce chapter 17 for them. Very beautiful chapter. Bani Israel or Al-Isra. In Surah Al-Isra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَأَجْلِبْ وَاسْتَفْزِزْ مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ بِصَوْتِكَ. Allah speaks about four plans, strategic plans of the shaitan. Listen to them. Four types of attacks. This is the way he preys on his victims. Four plots. Four main plots. Four directions. And Allah wants us to be aware. He's introducing this to us. So me and you, we are aware about his tactics and his plans. وَاسْتَفْزِزْ, provoke them, the people. وَاسْتَفْزِزْ, مَنْ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ بِصَوْتِكَ. This is number one. Number two, I'll translate that. وَأَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ وَرَجِلِكَ. Number three, وَشَارِكْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. Four, وَعِدْهُمْ وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. Four plans. Number one, the most powerful and the easiest one for the shaitan. This is, he is sitting relaxed and he can trap people in this plan here. وَاسْتَفْزِزْ مَنْ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ بِصَوْتِكَ. With your provocative voice, seductive tone, try to trap them in. And what is that? If you open the Quran, the Mufassirin, exegetes, commentators of the Quran, philosophers, jurists, they tell you that this is exemplified in two things here. Number one, songs and music. And number two, the seductive tone of some women. As to songs and music, Allah mentioned them in the Quran. Some people ask, where is the prohibition in the Quran? Show me. Where does Allah say songs are forbidden? Of course not. We are not discussing the details here. I am talking in general terms here. There are, our jurists, our fuqaha, they believe that there are certain types of music which is exempted from this verse. I'm speaking in general terms. The Quran refers to songs and music in many chapters. Surah Al-Hajj, Surah Al-Furqan. الَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ. The honorable people are the people who do not observe, do not experience or observe false and falsehood. In Surah Al-Hajj, وَاجْتَنِبُوا قَوْلَ الزُّورِ. Altogether avoid false and falsehood. Many of the both schools of thought, many of the commentators believe that Az-Zur or Qawl Az-Zur is referred to songs and music. This is number one. In Surah Al-Mu'minun, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. They don't get involved in laghw. And laghw again is about falsehood. Allah is referring to laghw, to falsehood here. Vanity and vain talks. So these are certain references to music. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam states that al-ghina'u yunbitu an-nifaq fil qalb. Songs and musics, they implant hypocrisy in the heart. They intoxicate the heart. Why? Simple analogy here. What do you find in songs other than I love you and you love me and, you know, this sort of talks? Nothing else. Most of them. Profanity, cheap talks. So if you are always, all the time, involved in cheap talks, then you will, your heart and your mind will be intoxicated. Will be intoxicated. In some countries, they send their kids to the military. He becomes a soldier. By the time he comes back, he only knows one word, which begins with the such and such letter. He speaks profanity. Why? Because he's surrounded all the time, encircled by people who speak the same language. They have nothing else other than profanity. So it will cheapen you when you always listen to songs and music. It will cheapen your heart. You're going to lose the sanctity and the immunity of the heart. And then even when you come to the prayers, you cannot focus. Brothers and sisters, are you with me? The person who thinks, yes, in the car I can play music, but I can go to the majlis, I can go to the prayers. What's wrong with that? No. Your prayers would not help here. Why? Because your mind is busy with something else, has been intoxicated, contaminated with something else. You cannot switch it. You don't have a button here to just, it's not a SIM chip, huh? SIM card, you know, today we just switch some SIM card, you know. Change the phone from this system into that system. We don't have something like that. In order for you to become religious, you have to go through a process of rehabilitation. You have to think about Allah all the time, not only at the time of the prayers. All the time. You cannot just switch from hypocrisy into absolute faith within a matter of seconds. You can't do that. فَاجْتَنِبُوا قَوْلَ الزُّورِ Brothers and sisters, leave it all together. Listen to the songs of your Creator, the Holy Quran. Listen to the Quran. The best music and the best songs intended to entertain the hearts and the minds, to resurrect them. So, this is one. وَاسْتَفْزِزْ مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ بِصَوْتِكَ Songs and music. Second is the seductive tone of women. Listen to the Quran in Surah An-Nur. Not in Surah An-Nur, in Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33. يَا لِسَاءَ النَّبِيِّ لَسْتُنَّكَ أَحَدٍ مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ إِنِ اتَّقَيْتُنَّ فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ Do not be so soft, so kind when you speak. Do not be complacent of speech when you speak. Do not be too nice to the other side, to the stranger. Yes, to your brother, to your husband, be very nice. But if someone that you don't know, he's stranger, a cousin, a classmate, he works with you in the same office, do not be too complacent of speech with him. فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ Why? فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٍ Lest that the one who has propensity for evil and evil doing, he has a disease in his heart, he will be enticed by your seductive tone. Don't be too nice with him on the phone when you speak to him. But however, Allah says, وَقُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا At the same time, you have to be kind, you have to be polite, but be formal. Be formal. Avoid unnecessary talks between the strangers and the strangers here. Even your cousin could be your stranger, huh? Not someone that you don't know. In Islam, only specific people you are allowed to communicate with him. Others, you are restricted. It costs you very dearly. Be nice. Be humble to the people. But when it comes to sensitive areas and sensitive issues, you have to avoid that. فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ وَقُلْنَ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا Why? Because Allah in the Quran says, one of the weapons, one of the plans of Iblis used against you and me, men and women, is the seductive tone. Very enticing, very tempting. On the tone, they can speak. And nowadays, alhamdulillah, they made it easy. Tick, 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 tick. You know, chatting most of the time. The father thinks that his son is doing his homework upstairs. And he's talking to other people. This is again one of the dangerous methods. We think that this is relaxing. Like the one who consumes drugs. It's relaxing for him. But this is very dangerous. This is number one plan. Number two, وَأَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ وَرَجِلِكَ وَأَجْلِبْ Assault on them with your cavalry and your infantry. بِخَيْلِكَ Those on the horseback. وَرَجِلِكَ On foot. وَأَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ وَرَجِلِكَ Again, the shaitan has other methods to trap the believers, the mu'mineen. Using unjust, again, according to the commentators, believe that using unjust military power, one of the ways, one of the plans of the shaitan, using violence, domestic violence, again, this is one of the ways, one of the tactics of the shaitan against us. This is one meaning, and then, according to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, al-mar'atu al-mutabarrijah min junudi iblis. Rasulullah states that a female, a girl who displays her physical beauty, her body in public, to the public, Again, she is one of the soldiers of Iblis. One of the ways to trap the people. Your body is not for you to display it. Your body is God-given gift to you. You have to take care of it. You have to think. Some people say, I don't care. Let the people not look at me. This is good, of course. Allah is creating equilibrium here. Allah is saying to women, do not display your body in public. At the same time, saying to men, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Cast down their eyes. You have to cast down your eyes. But also your duty is to protect the God-given gift. Think about the ramifications, the consequences. Think about what you are going to do in that community. Be careful of yourself. Be careful with the people. Allah says in the Quran in Surah Al-Mu'minun, An-Nur, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Cast down your eyes. Be careful of what you see. The Prophet says, غُضُّوا أَبْصَارَكُمْ تَرَوْنَ الْعَجَائِبِ. If you can control, if you develop this ability to control your vision and your eyes, you're going to see the mysteries. The mysteries that ordinary people cannot see. غُضُّوا أَبْصَارَكُمْ. Can we reach that point? That we can control the sight and the vision? We will be rewarded. This is a reward from Allah. تَرَوْنَ الْعَجَائِبِ. You will be able to see mysteries that ordinary people cannot see. At the same time, Allah says, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنْ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُمْ. And to preserve and protect their body, their private parts. وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا. They should not display their attraction, their physical beauty in public, for the public, for the strangers. Amir al-Mu'mineen, let me conclude with this story. Amir al-Mu'mineen, alayhi salatu wassalam, Imam Ali, was sitting with some of the people one day. An attractive lady passed by in the city of Kufa. So the men starting gazing at her, looking at her. Imam Ali noticed that people around him are looking at this lady. He said the following. He said, إِنَّ أَبْصَارْ هَؤُلَاءِ الرِّجَالِ طَوَامِحْ. Indeed, the glancing of those men is very excessively desirous and covetous. طوامح. فَإِذَا رَأَى أَحَدُكُمْ إِمْرَأَةً تُعْجِبُهُ. If you encounter a lady that you are attracted to her physical beauty, then فَلْيَأْتِ أَهْلَهُ فَلْيُلَامِسْ أَهْلَهُ فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ امْرَأَةٌ كَمْرَأَتِهِ. Allahu Akbar. Come back home, you have a family. Now maybe some of you will say, Sayyid, where is my family? I have no wife. That's a different subject. We will talk about it inshallah soon. But if you have a wife, if you have a partner, lawful, legal, religious partner, come home, have a relationship with her. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ إِمْرَأَةٌ كَمْرَأَتِهِ. The one that you saw her, very attractive outside, she's just like your wife at home. Same making, coming from the same factory, same model probably. But why he doesn't have feeling for her? Why he is disenchanted and interested in her? Because maybe lack of communication. We are covetous. We think that when we bring something in you, it is really fresh and in you and good. Not necessarily, it's the same. But sometimes we lose interest. Try to go to your family. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. Allah has provided you a lawful means. Today, I cannot move to the third and the fourth element here. the tactics of the shaitan. He has another two more. وَاسْتَفْزِزْ مَنْ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ بِصَوْتِكَ Number one. وَأَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ وَرَجِلِكَ Two. وَشَارِكْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ Three. وَعِدْهُمْ Promise them falsely. Give them false promises. False promises. وَعِدْهُمْ وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا But Satan promises nothing but deceit and deception. And this is what happened to Bani Umayyah. Bani Umayyah, the 30 or the 50,000 soldiers who came to fight the grandson of the Prophet, most of them used to pray 5 times a day. They confessed faith. They were Muslims. But the shaytan promised them falsely. وَعِدْهُمْ وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا They have been engrossed and overpowered by the promises of the shaytan. They have been possessed and touched by the shaytan. They were Muslims. They used to pray and fast. And one of them was seen after the murder of Imam Hussein, was seen holding the cloth of the Kaaba, and he says, Allahumma khfir li. Allahumma khfir li. Just as simple as that. He murders Imam Hussein and goes back to the Kaaba to perform the Hajj. They were Muslims, but they were touched and possessed by the shaytan. And this is what Imam Hussein, this is how he beautifully diagnosed them and their disease and their problem when he said to his son Ali al-Akbar, فَأَنْسَاهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ قَوْمٌ اسْتَحْوَذَ عَلَيْهِمُ الشَّيْطَانُ Encircled them, engulfed them, overwhelmed them, فَأَنْسَاهُمْ ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ This is how the shaytan does. When he engulfs us, engulfs our minds. He promised them prosperity and happiness if you kill Imam Hussein. But these are false promises. Brothers and sisters, many asked me last night and before last night that if we commemorate the tragedy of Ashura, why should we mourn Imam Hussein? Why should we weep for him? Is it necessary to weep for him? Can't we just have lectures? Listen to the story of Imam Hussein, to his lessons, and then we go home. What is the necessity of weeping and sobbing for him? Why? Just give me 5 minutes. Let me address this issue. Brothers and sisters, yes, it's good to have lectures about Imam Hussein. It's very good to know him and rediscover him and his role. But mourning is a step further. Mourning here means that you are sharing the pain, the anguish with Ahlul Bayt, with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a step further. Mourning means that this is not only sympathy and solidarity with Ahlul Bayt. It is empathy at the same time. To live, to feel what they went through, their suffering. To live the suffering. And in order for us to understand Imam Hussein, to understand Zainab, to understand the sacrifice of Ahlul Bayt, we have to live and feel some of their sufferings. I cannot say all the suffering. At least part of it, some of it. By shedding some tears, by remembering them. By living the tragedy. This is why it is necessary for us to know why we are the followers of Ali and Fatima, Hassan and Hussein. Why? If you don't cry, you would never reach that peak and that summit which enables you, entitles you to understand their role. You can't. This is why many Muslims today, millions of Muslims today, who worship God, but they do not enjoy the beauty of faith, the beauty of Islam. They are still not introduced to the school of Ahlul Bayt. They don't understand the suffering of Ahlul Bayt. We have to live the suffering. We have to embody the suffering inside us. This is why mourning and crying and weeping is necessary
And this is how we understand the tradition of Al-Imam al-Sadiq. من أبكى من بكى وأبكى ولو واحدا.
Try to cry. Do your best to share the suffering with them. من بكى وأبكى ولو واحدا. If you cry yourself, or encourage, create the ambience and the environment for people to cry, كان أجره على الله. You will be rewarded fully by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Come to the Holy Quran. Quran commands and hails people who cry for a good cause, a positive cause. Quran speaks about a number of great prophets that Allah graced them. Listen to the wording of the Quran. أولئك الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين من ذرية آدم ونوح وممن حملنا مع نوح ومن ذرية إبراهيم وإسرائيل.
إسرائيل is Jacob, يعقوب.
وممن هدينا واجتبينا. This community that we have chosen, we have guided, we have graced them. What about them? وممن هدينا واجتبينا إذا تتلى عليهم آيات الرحمن خروا سجدا وبكيا.
Once they hear the signs of God, the statements of God, they fall to the ground in prostration and weeping. خَرُّ سُجَّدًا وَبُكِيًّا. Allah hails them and commends them and compliments them for weeping for a good cause.
So, it is recommended. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, كُلُّ جَزَعٍ مَكْرُوحٍ إِلَّا الْجَزَعُ عَلَى الْحُسَيْنِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. Every jaza, what is jaza? Every jaza is unrecommended except with one exception. The jaza for Imam Hussein. What is jaza? Jaza has two meanings here. Let me go through them very quickly. Number one, jaza means that you are dissatisfied with God's decree. If Allah decrees that someone has to die, to be taken away, you become dissatisfied, unhappy, you start complaining. You are not content with this. You don't like it. This is jaza. And this is absolutely forbidden in Islam. مَنْ لَمْ يَرْضَ بِقَضَائِي وَلَمْ يَصْبِرْ عَلَى بَلَائِي فَلْيَتَّخِذْ رَبًّا سِوَايِ.
If you are not happy with my decision, with my decree, this is Lord.
And if you do not exercise patience throughout a tragedy, then go and find yourself another Lord, another God.
فَلْيَتَّخِذْ رَبًّا سِوَايَ. This is absolutely forbidden.
The second meaning of jaza, though, is the display of excessive anguish and pain and sorrow over the loss of a beloved person. This is again
is makruh, unrecommended. For instance, somebody's father's die. And rather than crying for him for 2 months, 3 months, he sits there and he cries for 3 years. This is unrecommended. You should not do that.
Don't transgress the boundaries. Be reasonable. In your lamentation, be reasonable. Except, we have one exception. إِلَّا الْجَزَعُ عَلَى الْحُسَيْنِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. Only the jaza, meaning to display excessive sign of sorrow and pain and anguish for Imam Hussein. This is mustahab and recommended.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ لِلْحُسَيْنِ مَحَبَّةً مَكْنُونَةً فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. For my beloved son Hussein,
there is a special love and compassion vested and deeply rooted in the hearts of the true believers.
Of the hearts of the true believers.
إِنَّ لِلْحُسَيْنِ, again, Imam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ لِلْحُسَيْنِ, إِنَّ لِقَتْلِ الْحُسَيْنِ حَرَارَةً لَا تُطْفَأُ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. In the hearts, down the hearts of the good believers, there is sorrow and pain. and compassion for the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, which would never be diminished, never cools off. Endless, endless pain.
And this is the wording of Rasulullah. It is eternal. You know what Al-Imam Al-Hujja alayhi salam says? In Ziyarat Al-Nahiyah. Ya Jaddah, la'andubannaka sabahan wa masa'a, wa la'abkiyanna alayka badala dumu'i dama. O my grandfather, I will mourn you eternally, endlessly. My mourning is perpetual, eternal. It has no end. And I will shed my tears for you, for your tragedy, for your suffering, rather than my blood, rather than my tears. وَلَأَبْكِيَنَّ عَلَيْكَ بَدَلَ الدُّمُوعِ دَمَى. This is an Imam al-Hujjah. Anbiya Allah, they cried for Imam Hussein. Look at the history of mankind. Beginning with Adam, we have authentic authorities, transmissions, states that Adam, Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, and of course, including Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They shed tears for Imam Hussein. Imam Zain al-Abidin, as I mentioned, the Prophet at his birth, while he was a baby playing. And lastly, only a few days before the departure of the Prophet, he weeps and he cries for Imam Hussein. Al-Mawardi, one of the prominent Sunni historians, Al-Mawardi and others, states in his book that the companions were sitting in the mosque of the Prophet. Suddenly the door is opened and the Prophet comes with tears in his eyes. Ya Rasulullah, what's the matter? He said, Jibreel was me a few seconds ago and he just informed me that I am going to lose this son. And imagine, this is 50 years, half a century before the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, while he's a still baby, toddler playing, the grandfather weeps for him. This is Al-Mawardi in his book. Al-Imam al-Sajjad for 35 years, constant weeping and crying. When they put the food in front of him, he blends the food and the drink with his tears. One day, Abu Hamza comes to him and he says, Yabna Rasulullah, why don't you stop weeping? It has been a long time. Yabna Rasulullah, remember, al-qatlu lakum adah, wa karamatukum min Allah al-shahada. This is a pattern, this is a norm in your life to be martyred. And your honor from God for you is to be, this is an accolade for you to be a martyr. وَكَرَامَتُكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ الشَّهَادَةِ فَرَدَّ عَلَيْهِ الْإِمَامِ. Imam said to him, بَلَا بَلَا شَكَرَ اللَّهُ سَعْيَكَ يَا أَبَا حَمْزَ. Yes, يَا أَبُو حَمْزَ, I understand what you say. الْقَتْلُ لَنَا عَادَةً. This is a norm for us, in my family, in my household, my father, my grandfather, our offspring, all of them will be murdered. Bala, bala, ya Aba Hamza, shakar Allahu sa'yak, walakin wallah ma nadartu ila ammati wa akhawati, illa wa tadhakkartu firarahunna yawma ashura min khaymatin ila khaymah wal munadi yunadi ahriqu buyut al-zalimin. Yes, what you said is absolutely right. But you know what, Abu Hamza, whenever I look at my sisters, my family, my aunts, I remember the day of a tragedy on the day of Ashura, when the whole camp was engulfed with fire. And the sisters, the daughters of Imam Hussein, were running, taking refuge from one camp, from one tent, into another. And the caller would shout, raise his voice, أحرقوا بيوت الظالمين. Burn down the house of the wrongdoers. Allahu Akbar, the house of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يفترن خوات حسين من خيمة لعد خيمة ينخن وين راح وين ما مش بالعرب شيمة
هل خامة شب بنار ردا ضربا الهامة والسجاد جو سحبه ودمع على الوجه سالة. يقول حميد بن مسلم, one of the observers of that day by the name of Hamid ibn Muslim, who was watching the battlefield, he said, I was standing in the midst of this chaos and turmoil. I was watching what's happening. Suddenly I looked at a young girl. رأيت صبية وقد تعلقت النيران في ديابها تتراكض في البيداء. I saw her. Her dress was engulfed in fire, caught fire, and she was running here and there. So I got close to her. I approached her. دنوت منها لأطفئ النار عنها ارتعدت فرائصها وخافت. I tried to extinguish the fire to help her, to give her some relief. But she was petrified. She was scared to death. She looked at me. قالت لي يا عم أنت لنا أم علينا. Are you for us or against us? I answered her. I said, لا لكم ولا عليكم. I'm just a neutral here. I'm an observer. I'm not a fighter here. Don't worry about me. Don't be terrified. قالت لي يا عم هل قرأت القرآن؟ قلت بلى. Have you ever read the Quran? I said, yes indeed. I'm a Muslim. I read the Quran. يا عم وهل مررت بهذه الآية فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر. Have you ever read this verse in the Quran? And the orphan, do not repulse the orphan. I said, indeed, I read the Quran and I read this ayah. قالت والله يا عم أنا يتيمة أبي عبد الله الحسين. I'm an orphan here. I just became an orphan. I'm the daughter of Imam Hussein here. I need some help. قلت لها إلى أين? Where are you running? قالت يا عم أخبرتني عمتي زينب إن لنا قبرا في الغري وهو قبر جدي أمير المؤمنين. ما أتاه مكروب أو طالب حاجة إلا كشف الله كربته وإني أريد أن أذهب وألود به. My aunt Zainab mentioned to me that we have a sanctuary not far from here in the city of Ghari, which is the ancient name of Najaf. And that is the mausoleum, the tomb of my grandfather, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Whoever has a need, whoever is distressed, will go there and seek refuge and seek help. Allah would never disappoint him. Allah will not send him empty-handed. So I decided to go and run and take refuge in that shrine. قلت لها بني بينك وبين الغري مسافة كبيرة. أخشى فيها عليك من حوافر الخيل. It's a long distance from here, from Karbala to Najaf, a long distance, and I fear for your safety and security. قالت إذا كان الأمر كذلك, if I cannot reach Al-Ghari, so please do me this favor. خذني إلى نهر العلقمي. دلني على نهر العلقمي. Guide me to where the hero is there. Guide me to Nahr al-Alqami. I guided her to Nahr al-Alqami. She left me. She started running. She went there and she sat near a decapitated body, the body of al-Abbas alayhi salam. Ana raiha al-Abbas aj'ada wa rakib jufufa fawq zanda. أنا رايح العباس أجعده وركب جفوفه فوق زنده وقل له ترى زينب بشدة حملي وقع يا أهلي سنده همي صير دهري بيكم يعود ورد أشيل راسي بيكم ردود وترد جفوف ابو فاضل للزنود وتتلاقي مردود جروح الاكبر.
اسالك اللهم وندعوك صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.